Council members, City Council meeting of March 28th, 2016, 6:30 PM.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's March 28th regular fellow City Council meeting. I'll call this meeting to order at 6:30 PM. And if you would all please rise for our invocation, I'd like you please to silently pray and ask for a blessing upon this city and wisdom for this council tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call, and I see all council members are present. So I'll move to item 1.5, citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to address the City Council with regard to any issue? Please raise your hand and I'll have you step to the microphone, and you have up to 5 minutes. Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 2, approval of tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Second. I have a motion made and second to approve our agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to item 3, our consent agenda.
I'll make that motion. Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve tonight's consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to our current business portion of tonight's meeting, and we have a public hearing to consider adopting the city comprehensive plan, and I would like to call that public hearing to order at 6:32 p.m. and ask Travis has a report for the City Council.
Good evening. My name is Travis Goddard. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Othello. And we brought this at the start of the month to you for a work session, just to let you know. I've had some revisions that came that are based upon the comments of the Department of Commerce, the Department of Transportation. I also received some public comments and some SEPA, State Environmental Policy Act comments, and some additional communication with city staff to clarify their sections. So there have been a few minor changes, and I'll cover those real quick just so that you know what they are. In the land use chapter, basically it was mainly minor editing and clarifications. There were some simplified figures that I put in there. And then there's also a map change. So if you're familiar with the comprehensive plan map, this is how it was proposed and how we've been discussing it. And the four circles that are indicated there are the changes. The one on the northern, the northeast corner, or I'm sorry, up by Lee Road, we included in our street map some arterials and truck routes in that quarter section. So I added it to the urban growth area. Also out here where Well 9 is, that was not previously in the growth area, and it made sense that I include that within. It's shown here as a park, but that can be changed if you think that limiting it to a park, if you want to make it residential, which would allow a park, we could also make that change. I also had a discussion with this property owner here. This is south of Main Street on the other side of 17, so directly across the street from the watering hole. And they wanted a larger portion, essentially to match kind of the commercial that would be on the west side of the highway. So they wanted it to have more of a developable footprint. And then also down here in the southwest corner from the previous map, I wasn't thinking about it, but if we were to ever extend a water and sewer line out to the golf course, it's only natural that we would want the property owners on the north side of that water line that front on it should also have access to it. So I just threw that in as residential just in case the opportunity comes up for them to want to get involved. So that, those are essentially the changes for the comprehensive plan map. Chapter two really is just minor editing and clarifications again. And I wanted to point out that this plan is a living document, so as we develop additional code sections, we'll come up with some ideas and changes that we'll want in the goals and policies section. So that will be revised, and under state GMA, it can be revised, actually under state RCW, it can be revised annually. So I wanted to point that out at this point. In the capital facilities chapter, I added a quick section on schools. I was hoping that they would complete their facilities plan or have some input to me before this got adopted, but we didn't quite make it, so I just put in a kind of a general statement that the city wants to work with them and cooperate. Also, we fleshed out the law enforcement and corrections section, and I appreciate the chief's help on that. And then also some of the usual minor editing and clarifications for the capital facilities chapter. Transportation, again, minor editing. I specifically added a section to talk about concurrency, which is basically a GMA principle, and we're not obligated to go by it, but I wanted it in there because it's important, because part of our philosophy in going through this is concurrency is the idea that the utility and the infrastructures develop as your community grows. You don't grow until you get to breaking point, and then you install something after the fact. You kind of want to put the water line in and help you direct your growth based upon where that stuff is available, as opposed to being wagged by the tail. So map changes, I thought I had this completely fixed. In the northeast corner up at the top here, you can see these are the two arterials and truck routes, actually three of them, that I had missed on the previous map. Also, there was a mapping error, and they put our intersections of concern on Bench and Thacker and Taylor, but really it's supposed to be the intersection of Highway 26, where you're going north towards Edson Tract or getting onto the highway. So those really are our priorities on Highway 26, not Bench. So this map has been corrected. I just got it this afternoon, so I didn't have a chance to send it to you, but it's essentially the same map that you've been seeing all along. Economic development, I did some minor formatting, and there were a couple grammar issues, and so Steve did a really good job, and I want to thank Steve McFadden from the ACDC for doing a lot of that work for us. Parks and Recreation, again, minor editing and clarifications. I wanted to let you know that we have received word from the RCO that they have given us an extension, and assuming we can get it adopted here and by April 15th, I can send them a paper copy, and we'll qualify for the 2017-18 funding period so we can apply for some recreation grants. But it's contingent upon adoption of a comprehensive plan that includes recreation. And there was one correction on this map, and again, it was the well site. I identified that as a potential park site just because I did it on the previous map, so I wanted to make sure they were consistent. If you want me to change that, I'd be more than willing to. And chapter seven, again, minor editing for the conservation and environment. This is the last chapter, and I just wanted to give you a heads up that we received another community development block grant to update our critical areas ordinances. So that will be nice because we'll be able to get some professional consultants in to do the heavy lifting on the science work. And then that will help us quite a bit. So that's it. Any additional questions?
Council?
I just have a statement. I mean, I realize what we stepped into, most everybody here on the council, several years ago, and the thought process at the time was to just adopt this mashup of about four different jurisdictions' comp plan. And so when we were in the process of creating this position for Travis, this was one of the main projects that Travis, that we tasked him to do. And I want to thank you, Travis. I mean, this is really excellent work. I don't think, you know, I can't say because I haven't looked at other jurisdictions our size and what the elements of their comprehensive plan is, but this is a plan that I think it makes it very clear that this community wants to grow. We're projecting growth. It is the first major step towards state agencies and funding agencies to, you know, look at what our plans are and then get on board with what we're trying to accomplish within the confines of their programs. So you've done a really good job at that, and I just want to thank you for the excellent work that you and then also the public you invited. It was a very collaborative process of having, you know, different, like Steve McFadden doing the economic development portion, members of the community working on different elements of the housing and of the park and rec, and the council member John Lawless attended all of those planning commission meetings and participated in the process. I attended a number of those as well, and I think that when you look at what we have now as this document that you're presenting for the council, I just I'm pleased.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Can I just ask a couple questions?
Sure.
And it really, it's just a question of why we're doing it the way it is. On your policy 1.6.3,
sure.
It's on page 26. Basically, I'm curious, what happens if there's a development that comes out there that does up their own water system, something like that? Because here it says that we should not include them in our system, basically, if they do it themselves.
This is an interesting question. I think it's going to depend a lot on the type of development that comes in. This was included because there was some discussion about the amount of development that's occurring in the county. Although we don't necessarily have the ability to influence their decisions, their development decisions influence the city. And the one hammer that we do have is the ability to hook up to water or sewer. And so this is a statement that gives you the opportunity to decide whether you want something to happen out there. So it's a pro and con, because by having this in here, you can opt not to provide them with water, which might encourage them to annex into the city prior to development. So for example, there are areas in our urban growth area that are rural density of 4 units per acre, and ours is 7 per acre. So we could potentially have some influence over providing an extra 30-40% of housing densities, and that may or may not be a positive thing, but from the city's point of view, it's one way to influence sprawl or not.
But isn't that, sorry, I don't know how, any other way to word it, but isn't that just kind of puffing your chest, puffing our chest? We're not going to deny them water. I mean, if somebody builds a system or a development out there, we're not going to run the water around them.
But you could delay them, but I see what you're saying. This is a tool that gives you the opportunity for you to influence that decision. You may very well decide as a policy that you're not going to tell no, but that's your decision, not mine. And it's specifically set up for you to decide. If 4 of you are upset enough that you want to say no, this now gives you the tool. But if 4 of you want it to go ahead, then you have the authority to go either way.
Go ahead, John. The city water ordinance says that if you're within the city's limits, you do not have the right to operate your own water system.
Right, and
yeah, beyond the city's
water. This is saying completely opposite of that, though. It's saying that we're not going to provide you water if you build your own system.
But that would be outside the city limits.
Right.
Where does it say build your own system?
Yeah,
it says in order to prevent premature rural density development within a growth area, lots created in county after the CP is adopted should not be considered for service provision unless they are annexed prior to the division.
Okay, so the whole point of 1.6.3 is we're not going to provide water unless you annex.
So what happens if we annex that area into the city? We're not going to provide them water?
No, we would provide them water once they're in the city.
I'm
it's when they're outside of the city that we were...
You say you want water, you're going to need to annex into the city. And if they don't annex into the city, it's not likely they're going to get water rights from the Department of Ecology or Department of Health to go ahead and put in wells for any kind of a subdivision, because they pretty much want everybody in these outer areas and outlying areas around a municipality to hook up to the city. So what really we're trying to do with this is that if you're out, you know, we adopt this tonight, and you live outside the city, you have a subdivision plan, you're going to need to annex if you want city water.
Well, and one thing is, we would want that system, if they built their own system, it would be their system, it wouldn't be built to city standards. We need it built to city standards, because we can take that over.
That's where you want to annex.
We need to make sure there's enough fire flow and that system's looped into our system.
Because odds are, you're going to, the growth is going to go around them anyway, and eventually that will become the city, and you don't want to have this little independent
island.
Yeah, island of.
Well, see, what that does is, see, that's a very good point, Mark, that you brought up, because if they're not built to the city standard, and at some point in the future, because there are areas in the community, around the community of Othello, that would like to annex, but they have substandard water and sewer piping that our Public Works Department would recommend against, just because of the future. In other words, the rest of the citizens would be required to pay to upgrade those systems.
Right.
And so that's part of what this planning process is to say, okay, if you want water service, first of all, you have to annex in the city, because we don't have the authority, if you're still in the county, to tell you how what standard you're going to do it at. But if you have annexed in the city, then we can enforce our code. Is that correct?
Yeah. I also wanted to point out that it does say should not be considered. There's also some policies and goals for you to evaluate annexations as to whether or not it's a good time for a piece of property to be annexed. And I think one of the things that I envisioned when I wrote this was, if an applicant came forward and said, look, I will build it to city standards, but I'm just on the other side of so-and-so, and they're not going to give us an easement if I build it to city standards, so that when you do get out there, I can annex. Because part of our water service agreements include a annexation agreement that by hooking up to city water, that they understand that when the city requests them to annex into the city, they agree not to fight annexation. So that is already written into their water agreement. So someone could come forward and say, yeah, it says should, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build it right. I'm going to be there. I'm just a little bit too far to justify doing it now, or there's some kind of geographical thing that we can't get to, but it will be built to your standards, and I won't fight annexation when I do come in. That's when he just needs to convince four of you to say, yeah, okay, that sounds reasonable. Go for it.
I just have one more quick, thank you for explaining that.
Sure.
Just one more, and it's really, really minor. Mm-hmm. On page 41, it says that our lagoons our wastewater lagoons are at capacity. Several weeks ago, when we did the SVZ contract, our engineer said they were less than 50% capacity. And I just asked Terry tonight, and he told me the same thing.
Yes. This was written before that came out, and one of the sections in the goals and policy basically says that the city knows it needs to do a capacity study and to do an evaluation of our facility. And so this is prior to knowing that information, and I could update that if you'd like to, or we could save that for an annual update once we actually get the information, then I'll just cut that and paste it with some more accurate information. So yeah, and Terry brought that up, and yeah, he's finding out all kinds of new information that I'm way too far behind to actually get that in the document before you tonight. But I'd be more than happy, if part of the motion, if you want me to update that section or any of these sections, just tack that on to the motion and I'll do that.
I'm happy with the yearly update.
Okay.
Any other council questions for Travis?
Yeah, I do on the Othello growth part. Juan, can you pull up that map again, please? For some reason, I can't open it. It just like blocks me out. Yeah, right there. Put it in. Okay. So if we go over here on the light industrial part, so if we're going to go north of Othello, right there where we had, So if we picture that Ochoa circle right there.
Yes.
I noticed that you got the north part of that circle that's light industrial from Lee Road to the south. You see that?
Down here.
Yeah, right there, right there.
Yep.
So if you take Lee Road coming south, what is the rule of thumb that we need for a depth? Because I think that's too deep for light industrial. Myself, I think we need more residential than light industrial.
I can change that as we see fit. Part of the reason why that was defined that way is because I had put collectors, and I figured south of the collector would be residential. That way they could snuggle up with their backs towards the industrial district on the other side. We could theoretically move that line anywhere where you see fit.
Because that's a 150-acre circle, so you got more of a light industrial than you have for residential. So I take it you got 90 acres of light industrial versus a residential. And I think right now we should be looking more for a residential property.
Yeah, I agree. And also when this original map was done, I was not talking to anybody about development up there. And since that time, I've had numerous calls and I'm looking at several division layouts north of Olympia. So here, because in our current zoning map, this whole area is white. It's designated as open space, so it provides no guidance whatsoever. There's a funky residential line that comes across here and down at an angle to, I guess it's second down in that area there. But it's just totally undesignated and really lacking anything. I just kind of moved it to the next logical property lines to kind of close those gaps. But yeah, you might be right. I've also heard the school talking about multiple locations and potentially up there, in which case an industrial wouldn't necessarily be the best designation for it either.
Well, I like that light industrial there south of Lee Road. I think it's just too deep, being you don't want to build a house by the heavy traffic area. So that's why I was asking, is our rule of thumb as far as the depth? Because I'd like to see more residential in that area, because I'd like to see growth going north instead of cross 26, in my opinion.
I took aerials and best available guess.
Okay, so since those are really basically undeveloped other than farm property, what's going to drive it is a developer. So if a developer comes in and he wants to build this or he wants to build that, this is just colors on a map. He's going to make application for what he's trying to get it zoned for whatever he's trying to do. So even though we have this outlined on this map, what we're doing is we're taking a snapshot of right now what the best guess is, and then what it actually becomes is dependent upon what developers decide to do. Is that correct, Travis?
Yeah.
And it would come before the council and we would...
So just to clarify, this is kind of a living, breathing document.
Yes.
That can continually change over time, and it's just to get it out there and get it established, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of knew that, because it's not in concrete and it's not zoned at farm.
Yeah.
But I kind of was wanted to get from you, is there a rule of thumb as far as depth, you know?
Well,
I know zoning process, you know, that would take care of that, but
that's something we need to think about moving forward in the future. This is something we're just starting. but we may want to get residential, you know, we want to move it forward, stacking it on top of each other before we get industry coming in and locating in the middle of it.
Well, I think that's moving faster in our area, so that is what we need.
Right.
Industrial will be coming in. I don't think it's moving as fast as it should, you know, especially when you don't have rail sites. That's by there. That's the rail sites is what people are looking for.
Right.
You know, nowadays because of trucking and being so hard. But yeah, that was my question, Travis.
I mean, we got a great industrial site outside of the city with the port and port areas that are available. And people need to live in the city. They'll want to locate into Othello and work out at Bruce or something.
Anyone else? Okay. With that, I'll open public testimony. And there are three categories of public testimony: those in support, those neutral to this comprehensive plan update, and those in opposition to the comprehensive plan update. And at this time, is there anyone here who would like to address the council with regard to this plan update that are in support of it? If so, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. Okay, hearing none, is there anyone neutral to this proposal that would like to address the city council? Hearing none, moving lastly to those in opposition of this comprehensive plan adoption. Okay. Hearing none, this time I'm going to close public testimony. And council, is there any additional information you need before we adopt this comprehensive plan update? And given what Travis had said earlier, if we want to incorporate some of the things that Corey had mentioned with regard to the lagoon is actually still at the 50% rather than near capacity. Travis would be happy to change that. So at this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve or approve with conditions.
I'd like to make that motion.
Second. Okay. How about discussion upon the proposed changes of Corey's about the
I believe we should leave it until we get the study done on the capacity, because I think that's gonna get changed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we just leave it the way it is, and then when we get that update and that comprehensive study, then we update it at that time.
Are you okay with that, Corey?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll close this public hearing at 6:58 p.m. And we'll move to item 4.2, resolution to surplus equipment. And Chief Phil Shank is here.
Two really quick ones. This should go well. So the first one is to surplus some equipment as we bought new laptops. These laptops that were being held together, some of them with black electrical tape, are ready to be let go. In order to do that, we need council to authorize that they be surplused. Our intent would be to put them on Craigslist after we wipe the hard drives, because there is some value to them. If we can't sell them at that, then we'll save them for an auction that we plan to do after we do some spring cleaning.
Any questions, council? Entertain a motion authorizing the mayor to sign a resolution to surplus equipment.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move on to item 4.3, ordinance to amend the Othello Municipal Code 1.20, titled Code Compliance and Enforcement. Chief?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. When Council approved 1.20, we sent it to Code Publishing. Code Publishing went through it with a microscope, responded back to Debbie. I've been working with Debbie. We've gone through this. What we have is some housekeeping that they've identified that should be very, very simple. In fact, in one section it said it would be section I on 120.20.020. It's under regulation. It left it blank after section. And in fact, what it should have been pointing to is 1.20.015, which I think, I'm trying to remember, it's a list of the laws that it can be used for, or applicability. So we inserted the 120.115 there that you see underlined. The second piece was we're striking the words, and it's down on 120.110, voluntary compliance agreement. And in that section, if you read it with the words by the city, it looks like we're abating the violations the city created. So by scratching the words by the city, we're abating the violation on the property. So it makes it clearer. Code Publishing identified that. Those are our only two recommendations.
Council? Entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign a resolution to make these code changes.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Code item 5, unfinished business. Tomorrow night is the town hall meeting with regard to the transportation benefit district. This is the opportunity the public has to ask questions. Staff has helped prepare a PowerPoint presentation. We're going to have a handout that's also going to be mailed to every citizen that is on city water. So I would encourage council to attend tomorrow night. It starts at 6:30 at the Reichardt Show House. And show your support. The is there any other unfinished business that needs to come before tonight? Yes,
I'd like to make a statement on Wade's part on that article he put in the Othello Outlook. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very excellent. I thought even a fifth grader could understand what's going on. I mean, it wasn't just a plain Jane deal. It was, what if this, or what if that, or this? Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Very good. And thank you, Amber. Did you write that article, or was that Luann? No. Is there any new business to come before the council tonight? I've got a couple. First, I want to remind the council that you have until April 15th to file your annual F-1 with the Public Disclosure Commission. So you need to go online to the Public Disclosure Commission. You can set up a user ID and password. If you do go on and do it online, it saves your information and will transfer it over, so it makes it very simple. However, you still can print it off and fill it out the old-fashioned way. Okay? And then the other item, after interviews last week for a new park and rec director, the committee selected Amy Hurlbut as the new park and rec director for the city of Othello. And Terry, do you know when she's going to start?
2 weeks.
April 11th.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, on the 11th. Okay, very good. Thank you, committee, and thank you, staff, for going through that process. As you're aware also, Stan Anderson has notified the city that he intends to retire, and so I believe interviews are going to take place this week to tomorrow. Okay, how many do you have scheduled? How many scheduled?
Four.
With four candidates, they all appear to have the credentials that we're looking for. And so I would anticipate by the 11th, we would, we don't need council approval for position. Okay. So final selection and then training period will ensue and we'll have someone new. Having no further new business, we'll move to item 7 on our agenda, which is item 7.1, executive session for pending litigation. And I would ask that the staff prepare the council chambers for this executive session. And with regard to Amber and the newspaper, we don't anticipate any action after the executive session. Let's give it 20 minutes, and so we will adjourn this meeting at 7:05. After several, it's, we're calling this meeting back to order at 7:43 p.m. After several extensions of the executive session, we discussed the Michael Crozier litigation, and we're taking no action at this time, with further details to follow in the future. And I'll move to item 8. Council will also receive the following department head reports. And having no further business to come before the council tonight, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:44 p.m.